three daughters. He didn't double them. You know why? Because the person you lost, you didn't lose. You just don't get to see her or him for a while. Well, I want to give to you, each of you, a CD today that's done by Tim Clinton, who's an American Christian Association of American Association of Christian Counselors. I've been studying under him, and he gives out a CD every month. And one month it was on grief, and beautiful songs on it. There's a little talk in each of them, and he gives permission to copy them. So I have a copy for each of you. If you want to make a little tiny dollar donation or something to Rebecca's memorial fund, that'd be great. But but I just encourage you to take the time and let worship just ministers, doesn't it? That's where God's heart is just really poured into yours, and it strengthens you. So I encourage you to take some time and listen to music like that. Whenever you're feeling it strong, just let God in. Don't push him away. Because, you know, too often we say, why, Lord, why? You know what? Some things will just never be answered. And part of faith is just letting that go. Part of growing in him is saying, you know what? I may not know until I'm in heaven. But and when I'm there, I may not even want to know. You know what I mean? But we need to get to that point, and it's a process. And Tim talks about how it's, you know, 3 months, it tends to hit real hard again, 12 months, another blow. And then it takes a good 2 to 3 years to heal from grief. And you know, your mind actually goes through a concussion. You ever heard that? When I heard that, I was long after I was, you know, been through it for a while, so I wish I'd heard it when I was in it. But your mind actually goes through a concussion. The logical and the emotional side of your brain separate. And so that is why sometimes, you know, changing a diaper, I mean, that was a baby thing. But I remember one time it was watching a big, strong man ride a bicycle on the side of the road, and I was driving. And it just, like, hit me. And I just started weeping uncontrolled. I had to pull over, sobbing. And it was like, why did this big, strong man make me think? My mind just went, my daughter was so, I mean, her head to her legs, she was so tiny. And it just brought me there. And it hits you uncontrollably. And that's why, because the logical and the emotional haven't quite, if they haven't healed, they're not working together yet. And that's also why sometimes you can talk about it and you would think you'd be crying your eyes out, and you're not. And that's not a bad thing. Don't feel guilty about that, because I know I did, and I'm sure you did at points. Like, I can't believe I'm not crying. What a horrible mother I am. It's just the way it is. Do not beat yourself up. It takes time to heal from all that. It takes time to forgive. We've got to learn to forgive. We've got to forgive ourselves. We've got to forgive the others. I mean, Jesus had to forgive the person, the people that caused John's head to be beheaded. You know? He died for them. One of the other things that we've got to take the time to do, and that is relinquish the control. And sometimes the memories that we don't want to let go of, and we play them over again and again. And I mean, I had to really analyze what I was doing my banquet for. I'm like, God, am I just dwelling in this? Am I just like, just such a mess that 14 years later I'm still doing this banquet? You know, is my heart right? Is it all about, because really the first year, it was all about, I want a different focus. I cannot think of the anniversary and like be all a mess. I'm going to bless all those people that helped me, and I'm going to throw them a banquet. And so that was the reason. And through the years, I mean, it probably took a few years before that wasn't my hiding place. You know what I mean? That wasn't my venue to escape all my emotions that I should have been dealing with. But God used it. And sometimes we've got to think about that. Are we doing things to kind of control our feelings? Are we doing things to kind of control that nobody else forgets her or him? Or are we trying to, you know what I mean? Just got to sort of look at our heart and say, God, is there something I should be given to you? Is there something that I need to let go of so that I can move on? And those words are sometimes horrible, aren't they? Move on. I don't want to move on. How do you keep going? There's someone so dear that's missing. But you don't have to let go of that control. You're moving on. It's okay. You have a life, and God wants to use it. And this is something that came against you, and God's going to turn it to your good. But let him. Let him. If you're holding on to it and you're replaying things over and over intentionally, then maybe you want to let go of that control. And I think that's a lot of what Job was going through. In the very end, he got double blessed. But did you notice there's something very powerful here in verse 11? It says that his brothers and sisters and all those that had been acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. This is after he's got double blessed and they're like celebrating. See how good God is? You're back on your feet and you're flourishing even more than before. But the next sentence, or the next half of that sentence, is, and they consoled him and comforted him. Isn't that amazing? This, I forget how many years it is. It's in there somewhere, but it's many years. And they're still consoling him and comforting him. The loss doesn't ever go away. If it did, then that means the love died. And it's okay that you're still feeling it after 20 years. It's okay. Because your love is supposed to last for eternity. But it doesn't have to control your life. It doesn't have to destroy your life. So I just encourage you, release the control, release the sorrow, release the depression, release whatever it is that's controlling your life and holding you back from influencing others. Remember that this all happened, that Job was so blessed after he prayed for the others. Sorrow didn't go away, but he didn't let it stop him anymore. And that's what I encourage you to do today. Before you can really be healed, you've got to hear from God. And in order to hear from God, you've got to take the time, like Jesus did on the mountain. You've got to take the time and worship. Because if you're just pushing through your pain and you don't stop to hear from God, you're going to keep having the pain.
That's right.
But if you give it to God, the warrior is a child. Put on that armor and keep fighting your battles. But allow yourself to be that child that climbs up in your daddy's lap and says, help me. Sometimes that's the only words you can say. Help me, Lord. Just help me. I know, sometimes comes in weird ways, that broken back was helping me. He made me stop and lay in my back and weep. Everyone's gone to work. You can't do anything. Talk to me, girl. Let it out. So I encourage you to worship. I encourage you to cry. You know that if you haven't cried, you're still controlling. If you haven't let the tears go, you're controlling it all. And that God loves your tears. Let them go. Let them go. They're precious to him. The Bible says that he stores them up. He holds on to them. They're valuable to him. So let the tears go. You know, I talked about how God made it clear to me that he wanted me to be introduced. And the thing he was saying to me is, when you are introduced, the people listen. They know you, where you've been, so they hear you. It's like worship. We need to worship our Almighty God and give him glory. Praise him in the storm. Great song by Casting Crowns. Praise him anyway, because then you'll hear from him. If you don't take the time to praise him, even if you're just looking in the Word and you're trying to read, trying to find the right thing, that's still sometimes controlling, trying to find what you need. No, praise Him first. Take the time to pour out your heart and worship. And then it's like that introduction. It's like, oh yeah, remember who you are. What you say will matter. And it will change my life. So just like when He spoke to me on that beach and He said, girl, nobody has to understand. I understand. Released. I don't have to find somebody to talk to anymore. Not that you shouldn't. If I want to, you know, be together and talk things out with your friends, but that's powerful. You've got everything you need. When you think about it, you can't find the words to say. God knows your thoughts. You don't have to say them. When you don't understand how it all happened, He knows all things. You don't have to try to figure it out. When you wish that things would turn out good in the end, He knows exactly how it's going to turn out. So just pour it out to Him.
Amen.
And He will do the healing He needs to do. And you will be the influential woman that God wants you to be. God, I just speak life over all these women. God, I thank You for the challenge they're in. I thank You, God, that You are using it for Your glory. I thank You, God, that You trust them, that You are honoring them, that other people are looking at them that they wouldn't have looked except for the loss that they've been through, the pain they've been through, the betrayal, whatever it is, God, has caused other people to look at them that wouldn't have looked otherwise. And that is such an honor. God, thank You for trusting these women. Thank You, God, for rising them up to be a mighty army. God, will You use these women in the lives around them? Make them influential, I pray. Help them to deal with the pain that they have. Help them, God, to have the strength to just give it to You. And help them, Lord, to keep walking, to keep fighting, to keep influencing all those around them. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.